Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos. I'm here with Sister Amen. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you want to edify?
I do.
All right, so we want to talk to you. We hope you're all doing well. We had a busy day today, but it was all basically online. Some witnessing. We'll talk about that.
Yes.
It was a rainy, cold day.
Ooh, it was chilly.
Rained all night, and then it rained all day. We survived the windstorm.
Yeah,
we worked online in a marketplace. And then what happened later in the day, Sister Amen?
We got to do something that we really enjoy doing.
Yeah, flying gospel signs on a busy corner, and Sister and
awesome.
Brother Kuo. The sun came out. It was beautiful, dried everything up. And Brother Kuo witnessed to a man in the parking lot. Sister Amen, explain about the man you met.
Brother Tupos is on the corner, and I was kind of walking up and down the sidewalk as the cars line up, and then I go to the one end, and as they line up, I walk down, let them see the sign, and as I was walking, a man whipped in his truck in a parking lot, and he came running over. He kind of scared me because I didn't see him coming up, and he's like, I just wanted to tell you that I agree with what you're saying. The churches are lying, and he said something about coming out of them, and I made a video on there.
Yeah.
You can see it on the post. I'll put up a post about it tomorrow. But he was thanking us for what we were doing. And then
he's
a DoorDasher.
Yeah, he's a DoorDash guy, a deliverer. And I was talking to another man that walked up or rode his bike up. And this guy chimed right up and said, thank you for what you do. I'll be on your website and maybe you'll hear from me. So he was thanking us. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then this man that pulled up on his bike, this is what we want to talk about. He was an interesting man. Let's just say that. He said he was homeless. He looked very clean. Cleanest homeless guy I've ever seen.
He did, yeah.
But he definitely knew scripture.
Oh,
and he had a Bible. I got a picture of him opening his Bible. Him and I were talking. I won't go into it. Him and I talked a bunch of times. He came back and went away about four times. Kept talking.
Yeah.
And he ended up being kind of a likable guy, even though he was interesting.
He kept making me laugh.
Yeah, he was kind of... he kept making some good points, and then he had some troubling theology. But here's what we want to talk about. At one point, he got in his flesh when I told him about some false doctrine he had, and he said, I think you're insane. You're insane, and you shouldn't be saying anything. And I said, I think we're done here, sir. And I kind of turned away from him. He tried talking to me. Eventually rode off on his bike. Sure enough, he went down about a quarter mile. I saw him. He came back, and he said, I'm really sorry. Did I offend you? He said, can I buy you lunch or dinner? He said, I probably shouldn't have said that to you. And he kind of warmed my heart a little bit because he did ask for forgiveness. And I talked to him some more. And he goes, my dad told me I was insane one time. He goes, that's not very nice. I shouldn't have done that.
He went on for a long time about how that bothered him.
Then he went on and he went back three or four times. And he was very interesting to talk to. I offered him help. He said he didn't need nothing. I said, email me. I'd be happy to help you. I asked him why he doesn't go to a shelter. I asked him if he was hungry. And what we want to talk about today is watching your words. I saw the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this man's born again. I saw the Holy Spirit because he does reprove the world. He was convicted because I told him. After he told me we're insane and he walked away or rode his bike away and he came back and then he was saying some stuff. I said, you don't realize who you met today. And he looked at me and I said, we're godly, holy people to strive for the kingdom of God. I said, we're the remnant of God. And I said, you come up while we're trying to proclaim Christ and you defamed what we're doing. And he kind of looked at me and he goes, I probably shouldn't have said that stuff I said. He goes, I don't meet many godly people. And it kind of changed his tune, and it got me thinking about watching your words. What do you think about that, Sister Amen?
Yeah, I like that because he was one of these people, like Brother Tupos said, he's kind of likable in the way he was talking because he was very interesting.
He wasn't in our face. He wasn't aggressive.
Yeah, and he's one of those that would talk about a subject like this, and Brother Tupos would correct him, and right after that, he'd go on to another subject, and then he would come back to this one, and then he would say, my dad said.
Yeah, he's unique. So he had some challenges.
Yeah, it made me smile because he knew the scriptures.
He knew
scriptures. Wow, did he know the scriptures?
He had some bad theology, but he did know scripture.
He knew what the scriptures said.
Yeah, his testimony was pretty troubling.
And when Brother Tupos would point something out to him, he even admitted, he goes, I'm not walking without sin, or I'm not where I should be.
You're not where I should be.
He, like, when he got corrected, he took it.
Yeah, he kind of did, and he definitely was convicted about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to read James talking about watching our words, James 3, 5, and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So yeah, the tongue has a lot of power. It can do a lot of damage. It can do a lot of building up. It can do tearing down. It can edify. It can hurt. It can lie. It can tell truth. The tongue can do a lot of things.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
We got to be very careful with it. It's a dangerous weapon.
It is. What scriptures you got for us?
Let's see. I got Matthew 12, 34 through 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Yeah.
So we meet in our ministry a lot of people, whether it's face to face or...
What verse was that?
That was Matthew 12,
yeah.
34 through 37.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was just thinking about how we meet people that they get in their flesh and they just throw a bunch of words out there. And then when you try to take them back to it, they're like, oh, I didn't really mean that. I meant this and that. And it's like you lose the credibility of what you're trying to say if it's a constant going habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Job 6:30, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? So yeah, the tongue. It's something that we all should consider. We all can fall short in that area. We all can slip. We all can do things that are not glorifying to God. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from they speak no guile. His lips that they speak no guile. So just an interesting concept. I saw great conviction in this man. He was really sorry. And he said, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend you. And I said, well, I forgive you. And I ended up forgiving him. And we talked for quite a bit longer. And it really went well. I mean, it went as well as it could. I'm hoping he emails me. I'd love to stay in touch and encourage him.
Yeah. Well, I had a couple more things.
Yeah.
Since you brought him back up, I wanted to say that man made me think of Acts 16. Because he would go down the sidewalk quite a ways and he'd stop. And then he'd come back and talk to Brother Tupul.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would leave. And then he would come back.
Yep.
How many times did he do
four.
That? Four. Okay, yeah.
He went and came back four times and tried to, like, walk his way back into...
Yeah, and there was a few times Brother Tupul was very polite. But he would just stand there and keep talking. And it was interesting. It made me think of Acts 16 through 18. Because a lot of what he was saying was of the scriptures.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot. What he said was not unbiblical. And then when Brother Tupos corrected him, he most often received it. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I'm not saying he had a spirit.
Right, I get
him.
What you're saying, though.
Mine was like, he was just like hanging around. Saying what the things of God were. When you tried to gently let him go on his way to ponder what you already had given him, and he didn't always take the time, and he came right back for something else.
Yeah.
That's all I meant.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just a good thing for all of us to ponder, our tongue, words, what we say. Jesus said we're going to be judged for every idle word, right? Mm-hmm. And another verse I have here, James 1:26, my last verse. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridled not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful words right there. Your whole faith is in vain if you can't control your tongue.
Yeah, because what's the root of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart.
Yeah, that's what we were just reading,
yeah. Your mouth does speak. You got anything else for us, Sister Drummond?
I have 1 Timothy 5:13. And withal they learned to be idle. This is talking about the young widows. Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And this is just kind of a little I don't know if this can be brought in here or not, but you know what else I was thinking about?
What's that?
Tongues. And how people just...
Oh, you mean like the gift of tongues? Yeah.
Yeah, they just babble and it means nothing because they're, first of all, they're not biblical. They're not biblical, godly, holy saints. They're just rattling off some tongues on a sidewalk by the street outside of a church. I've had women do that to me. They get mad and they just babble off some tongues for no reason whatsoever. It's empty. It's empty and vain.
Yeah.
And idle.
Yeah. So, that's a good point. That also is the lips and the tongue, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the root of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I do have an ending verse, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the right of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, think about that, your tongue, how you're, what you're speaking, what you're saying. It could go as well as like what you write, how you type also. I mean, emails and correspondence, that kind of the same thing. And make sure that it's glorifying to God, whether it be kind and gentle where it's needed, or it could be a harsh rebuke. I just did a teaching on gentleness. There's a time to be gentle. There's a time to rebuke. There's a time to say nothing. There's a time to, call out sin and wickedness. So make sure that everything's done in accord and what's appropriate to God's word and his ways.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
So tomorrow, if the Lord wills, when we get the day, we're going to hit the road, head down the road and head to another town, another area. And we will be preaching the gospel as we go.
Oh, amen. Definitely.
Whether we do it one-on-one, leaving gospel cards, flying signs, street preaching, on the internet.
Always going out.
It's always going out.
Shining his light in a dark place.
Amen. Any last thoughts, Sister Armin?
I just hope my sisters all over the world and brothers are all striving on, standing strong, and working the ministry that the Lord has in front of you.
Amen. Yeah, my last thought to you, I do have a scripture verse. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This man, he got a little bit under my skin a little bit, I'll admit it. Just a little bit when he said, you're insane. And I said, okay, we're done here. And then he came back, he was humbled, and he said, I'm sorry I did that. Can I buy you dinner? And I said, buy me dinner. I said, how much money do you have? And he goes, $18. And I said, you don't need to buy me dinner. And we had a little bit of talk about that. And I asked him if he had any needs or anything. And he said, no, he was fine. And I really think... the Lord taught me a lesson about just reaching down and showing mercy to this man, because he knew not what he was saying at some point, and he was saying things that he didn't know. It kind of reminds me like when Stephen got stoned. He said, they know not what they do, Lord. In a sense, I don't think this man knew exactly what he was doing. So it was like, Lord, have mercy on him. I don't think he knows what he's doing. So taught me a little bit of a lesson in mercy. And I actually enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening. He really made me smile because he had like this zeal.
Childlike.
To talk about the things of God, even though he was off on some things, but he got corrected. And when because I'd kind of wander back and forth and listen, and at a point, I turned around and I saw him balancing his bicycle.
Yeah.
So he's straddling his bicycle. He's got shopping bags on the front handles.
Yep.
And did he have a sleeping bag on the back?
Yeah.
So he's balancing that, and I look, and he's got his Bible open, and he's trying to hold it on his bike on the handlebars and looking up a scripture verse.
And last thought, I hope we hear from him, because he got a gospel card. I asked him, do you have a phone? He said, I do, but it doesn't connect. It's not connected to Wi-Fi. But he said, I go to the library, I go to McDonald's, and I hotspot, and I'm like, send me an email. I'd love to stay in touch. I'd love to help you. Anything I can do for you. He said, I don't need anything. He said, I don't panhandle. And I'm hoping to hear from him, because I'd like to encourage him in the things of God. And taught me some things about mercy, and the Lord was good on this day.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. All right, we're going to leave right there. We hope that all edified you. Seek the kingdom. Be merciful if you want mercy. And make sure you speak with words that are kind, truthful, and in context for the situation. Yeah, you got to rebuke sometimes. I get it. You got to be harsh sometimes. Jesus was, Paul was, John the Baptist was. But then also there's plenty of times where our words need to be edifying and need to be, Jesus said, be salt and be light. So we want to be salt and preserve the things of God so that people can find their way out of the snares of the devil.
that is having mercy.
Amen.
Doing whatever needs to be done to help save a soul from eternal damnation.
Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying until
they might not like it, but
at some point you have to finally stop.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we love y'all. We're headed down the road. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering area. And we love you all. Keep seeking the kingdom.
May God be praised.